chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. God willing, we'll finish this chapter this morning. Daniel chapter 7. And for our text, we'll read the last half of this chapter, Daniel chapter 7, and beginning in verse number 15. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of his kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. They shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. We're on that third point of the outline there, the interpretation of the dream. We looked at introduction to the dream and information about the dream. Now we're looking at the interpretation of the dream. In the first place, in verses 15 and 16, we see Daniel's troubled. Daniel is troubled. Good verse 15. Go back there for just a moment. Verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Daniel didn't hide the fact here that he was grieved and troubled by this vision that he had mentioned in the first half of chapter 7. The Jews had failed, and their world empire would have to wait. Theocracy and monarchy alike had ended in apostasy and disaster. Maybe Daniel had hoped that at the end of the 70-year captivity that Jeremiah had foretold of, that the monarchy would be restored in Israel and that they would return to their former glory. Perhaps he had hoped for a national repentance, a spiritual awakening, a revival in his land, ending with the arrival of the Messiah and a new theocratic kingdom being set up under Christ at Jerusalem. But unfortunately for Daniel, he knew that with the destruction of Jerusalem, the times of the Gentiles had begun. And according to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, there would be another three Gentile world empires after this one, before the Messianic kingdom would come. What disturbed him more than the time frame was the wild beast character of the coming kingdoms and what would that mean for the world in general and for God's people in particular. As for the fourth beast, Daniel trembled at the thought of it. No wonder he was grieved in his spirit. No wonder his thoughts were troubled. Verse 16, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Who is this celestial being that stood by Daniel in his dream? We don't know his name, don't know what he looked like, we don't know what rank he held, but what we do know, church, is that God had to place him there so that he could answer Daniel's question. So we see Daniel is troubled. Then secondly, notice this, verses 17 through 27. The dream's truth. The dream's truth. In verses 17 and 18, he talks about five kingdoms. Let's look there. Verse 17, these great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. The first answer of the angel was brief enough that it concerned the five kingdoms. There would be four kingdoms of men and the final kingdom of the Messiah. Look at what the angel draws our attention to. He says matter-of-factly that the four beasts are just four kings. Then in verse 18 he says this, But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. With that word, but, he draws our attention to what was really important. Anytime you see that word but, or anytime somebody says the word but, it means forget what I just said because I'm fixing to say something else. Forget what I just said because I'm fixing to maybe contradict myself. He wasn't interested in the rise and fall of human empires. He saw the wonders of the great white throne, the splendor of the Ancient of Days, the majesty of the Most High God. These four beasts, these first four kingdoms, they were just kings. The whole sad episode of Cyrus the Persian, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and all the rest of them were eclipsed by the fact that once the saints of the Most High took over, there would be a kingdom that would never end. Amen.
Amen.
In verses 19 through 25, he discusses that fourth kingdom. Look at there in verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up and fell, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Daniel, though, wasn't satisfied. He was concerned about this fourth beast. He wanted to know about the ferocity and features of this beast, especially about the 10 horns and that little horn that could speak. How did it make war with the saints? How did it not win? How did the Ancient of Days come? How? Daniel wanted to know. Verse 23, then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. In answering Daniel's question, the angel told him that there would be a fourth kingdom. We know that the first phase, the Roman Empire, never did conquer the entire earth. The Romans never subdued the Scots or the Welsh, the Parthians or the Scythians. They never crossed the mountains or went beyond the Sahara. But as we saw earlier in this chapter, another phase of this empire was on the way. Verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. Who then is this little horn that he talks about? Well, he's known by many names. In Isaiah 14, verse 25, he's called the Assyrian. Daniel 8, verse 23, he's called the king of a fierce countenance. Daniel 9, 26, he's called the prince that shall come. Daniel 11, 23, he's called a vile person. Daniel 11, 36, he's called the willful king. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, he's called the man of sin. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8, he's called the wicked or the lawless one. 1 John 2:18, he's called the Antichrist. Revelation 13:1, he's called the beast. The Greek prefix anti can mean against. It can also mean instead of. The final world ruler will be both a counterfeit Christ and an enemy that's against Christ. The Antichrist has to overcome the power of 3 other rulers to be able to do what he wants to do. That is, become a world leader. Look back at verse 8 of this chapter, chapter 7. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. So, verse 8 speaks of his eyes, maybe suggesting that he has remarkable knowledge and skill in planning his exploits. We're also told that his mouth spoke great things. The mouth of this little horn. He'll be a man skilled in using words. He'll be able to promote himself so that people will follow him. He'll be charismatic. Not theologically, but socially. He'll be charismatic. Think of people in the past who've been able to speak to crowds and whip them up into a frenzy to follow him. Hitler convinced a nation that they were justified in going to war and creating a master race. If you think he was a good speaker, Wait until Antichrist comes on the scene. He'll control this third phase of the Roman Empire, and he'll have all the political and economic and military might of the West, and he'll be in a position to make his move to world domination. We talked about all this when we studied Revelation. According to Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27, we'll cover that when we get there, but I'll just mention it here. The Antichrist will make a covenant with the Jewish nation for 7 years. This peace treaty will guarantee the security of the country, earning him great support from the humanistic Jews. He'll endorse the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem on its original ancient site. That'll win the support of the religious Jews. Imagine how the Islamic world will feel about that. Maybe they'll turn to Russia for help. And here's where the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is fulfilled. Gog and Magog. Which country is Gog and Magog? Anybody know? It's Russia. Gog and Magog. Russia will invade Israel along with its Islamic supporters, and they'll meet disaster. The overnight collapse of Russia and the Muslim world leaves a vacuum for the Antichrist to fill. And now the world seems to be his, or as Daniel puts it, he will devour the whole earth. Right, verse 25 here, chapter 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and so wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Look what it says there. He shall speak great words against the Most High. The prominent feature of the Antichrist is his blasphemy. Even though people through the ages have blasphemed God and said awful things about him, even though people today seem to be more outspoken about their contempt for the things of God, even though communism and humanism have created a climate for blasphemy, the Antichrist will outdo all of them. Look what he goes on to say here, verse 25. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Millions of people will be saved after the rapture of the church. In Revelation 11, we see the two witnesses who will witness to the Jews, of whom 144,000 will be saved and sealed and sent to evangelize the world. They'll reach a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, we read about that. Against these late converts and against the Jewish people, the Antichrist will turn his hatred and his spite. So his true colors will begin to show. As he rises to world domination, he no longer has any need for the Jews. And he will renege on the treaty that he signed with them. He'll move his armies into their country. He'll seize their temple. He'll set up his image in the holy place and begin a bloodbath of God's people on all the earth. This coming universal Holocaust is also known as the Great Tribulation. Matthew 15, verse 21 says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." He will think to change the times and the laws. He will abolish the Judeo-Christian system of laws along with its religion and its institutions. However, a divine limit is set on Antichrist activities. A time and times and the dividing of time. So what does that mean? A time and times and the dividing of times. The plural word times can mean dual. So we might read it like this. A time, two times, and half a time. A time, two times, and half a time. A time being 1 year. So that means that this last period of the Great Tribulation will be 3.5 years. A time, 1 year. Two times, 2 more years. And then a half a time, half a year, 3.5 years. That also fits with Revelation 13 that we've been looking at. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. How long is 42 months? 3.5 years. 3.5 years. So here's what's going to happen. Antichrist will be leading 1 of 10 Confederate nations in Europe. He'll overcome 3 other nations, and with the help of Satan, he'll move into position of world dictator. At first, he'll appear friendly to the Jews. He'll sign a 7-year covenant to protect them, Daniel 9:27. The signing of that covenant will signal the start of the last 7 years of Daniel's 70 weeks. Speaks of 70 weeks, he's talking about weeks of years. So 490 years. This period is commonly known as the tribulation, this last week, these last 7 years. And it's described in Matthew 24, in Mark 13, and Revelation chapter 6 through 19. After 3.5 years, the Antichrist will break the covenant, set up his own image in the Jewish temple, Jerusalem, forcing the world to worship him and the devil who is energizing him. Using the language of Daniel, the Lord described this as the abomination of desolation. Daniel 11, verse 31, Matthew 24, verse 15, Mark 13, verse 14, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 4. I'll talk about that. That signals the last half of the tribulation, a time known as the wrath of God in Revelation 14. It'll climax with the return of the Lord Jesus to the earth, who will defeat Antichrist and his army. Jesus Christ will then establish his kingdom. So all that is what Daniel saw in his dream here in chapter 7. He saw that hundreds of years before John saw it in the book of Revelation. And then in verses 26 and 27, should have been doing this all along. Verses 17 and 18 speaks of the five kingdoms. 19 through 25 speaks specifically of the fourth kingdom. 26 and 27 speak of that fifth kingdom. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. This was a remarkable vision that was given when Babylon was still a world power. So none of this had happened, but Daniel saw it happening. The fifth kingdom, the storm clouds will roll away, the sun breaks through at last, the sound of war is silenced, and the messianic age arrives, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. An age proclaimed by the prophets when men will beat their swords into plowshares, we read about. The desert will blossom as a rose. when the wolf and the lamb shall eat together, peace and prosperity will be the norm. Man will have just begun his life at 100. The world will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters now cover the sea. And Jesus will reign from Jerusalem. No wonder. No wonder Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Then in verse 28, we see Daniel's thoughts. Daniel's thoughts. "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." The angel had finished the interpretation and had dwelt, for the most part, on the encouraging outcome of it all. But Daniel's thoughts, he said, troubled him. The angel could rejoice at the outcome, but Daniel and his people were to face the stormy and violent centuries ahead. Daniel was upset because of the tribulation that lay ahead for his people. And we'll get into that as we begin chapter 8 next time, God willing. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. I pray that you would help us as we enter into the next service. I pray that you would speak to hearts.